I ask your attention this morning for verse 32 of Romans 8, where Paul writes, the Word of God reads, "He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" This is the Word of the Lord. After the proclamation of God's Word, we'll praise God with the words of hymn 35, the first stanza. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, what is the Lord's Supper really all about? Why has it been instituted? Well, you could say the whole point of the Lord's Supper is to deal with the problem of doubt in our lives. Our confession says in Article 33 of the Belgic that God ordains sacraments not because of any weakness in himself or in what he had done or in the gospel, but because he in his grace is mindful of our insensitivity and infirmity. Or as the old translation put it, he takes into account our weaknesses and infirmities. And what is that weakness and infirmity other than doubt? We know that God promises us many things in his word. We know what he says therein, but time and again we doubt either that it's true or that it actually applies to us. We wonder, is it really true that Christ did all this for sinners, for me? And also, is it really so that after this life, I may expect to be with him in all his glory in that splendid eternal life? And also, that even in this life, he's guiding and blessing and caring for me. Is that all true? Put yourself in the position of those who are struggling with health and other issues in your own congregation, and you can imagine them saying, is that true that God is blessing and caring for me even in this? And so is it not a splendid thing that God does with the Lord's Supper? Herein he gives us a picture of the very things that he promises us. He says, see, this is how it is. The Holy Spirit is like a teacher who, when he realizes his students are giving him blank stares and not understanding and not getting the message, he takes chalk and he draws a picture and says, that is what I'm talking about. That's what the Lord's Supper is doing. These are pictures meant to symbolize to us the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, see, this is how it is. Do not doubt, but believe. As surely as you eat this bread, as surely as you drink from this cup, so sure it is that Christ broke his body and shed his blood for you. Well, brothers and sisters, alongside of that, there are a few scriptural passages that tackle the problem of doubt more forcefully than this one. Romans 8 is a kaleidoscope tour of the many incredible wonders of God's grace in Christ as he allows us to be even his children. It's a beautiful, heartwarming, mind-staggering thought and chapter. Let's pause for a moment to meditate on these words. Verse 32, he who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Brothers and sisters, when the Apostle Paul writes this letter, Nero is on the throne. Whether the Roman Christians were actually already being persecuted when he writes is doubtful, but it's coming. The signs are there. The culture is such, much like our culture. Persecution is coming. Sooner or later, fear would grip the heart of every child of God. And so it is through God's provision that Paul comes with strength and comfort in this 32nd verse. For what does Paul say here? Well, the first thing he does is stress the costly act of who God is, of what God did. Paul says, he who did not spare his own Son. The one who did not spare his own Son. And so you first have to understand what is meant by spare. The word spare is often used in connection with something that's very dear to someone. It's a verb here. Think of it. What is something that is most dear to you? What do you cling to above all? That is something that you will spare. If you are a lover of books, for instance, as I am, And the time comes for you to part with some of them or most of them for some reason or the other, then there will be the temptation to spare a few that you particularly value because they've spoken to you and the needs of your life and the very things that you do. To spare, that is something that you do when you say, oh, you can have this and you can have that and you can have all of that, but spare me this one. For I want to keep it. It's very precious to me. It's in this sense that Paul uses that word spare. Indeed, with this word, he stresses the costly act of what God has done. When Paul says, he who did not spare his own son, the idea is this, that God went the limit for us, that God was even willing to pay even the highest price imaginable for our salvation. For the point is, God too had something that he cherished above everything else, someone whom he cherished above everyone else. It was his only son. God had only one son, a son whom he loved very dearly, a son whom he loved for all eternity, a son whom he was one with, a son with whom he had fellowship and intimate communion. And indeed, God could have said, in order to redeem you miserable sinners, I will do this and I will do that. I will give you this and I will give you all of that, but I will spare my son, for he's my only son, my beloved son. God could have said, no, not my son. But see the love of God, Paul says. Even that which was most precious to God, even that which he cherished more than anything else, he was willing to give up for our sakes. He did not spare him. Think of it this way. Whenever I think of this text, I cannot help but think of Abraham. Can you imagine what a burden it must have been for Abraham to go up to Mount Moriah, to travel there in order to sacrifice that one son whom he had waited so, so very long for? For decades, Abraham and Sarah had prayed for that one son. And now that he's an adult, now that he's able to do the very things that are expected of him, God says, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son, your only son. What a terrible, heart-rending pain must have gone through Abraham when he heard God say in the darkness, Abraham, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and offer him up. How Abraham must have thought that night and those days again and again about ways in which he could possibly spare his son, that dear son. How he could have cried out to God, oh God, take anything and anyone, but not him. Spare him, for he's so special. Well, now multiply that 1,000 times, and you begin to see what God has gone through. For to Abraham there finally came that voice. Abraham goes through the process. He walks there. He answers Isaac's curious questions as he comes up the mountain. And he takes Isaac and he straps him to that altar and he lifts up his hand and there finally comes that voice, Abraham, do not lay your hand on the lad, for now I know that you fear God. But when God puts his own son on the altar of the cross and when God lifts up his hand to strike him, then there is no voice and there is no one who stops him. He did not spare his own son. He spared Abraham that pain, but he did not spare his own son. You see, the problem so often is that we think and speak in the event of the cross in a manner that's too cold and matter of fact. When we observe the son going through hellish agony and excruciating pain on the cross, we tend to forget that at the same time, there was someone else going through much agony and pain, no less excruciating, God the Father. Think of what he went through when all of this was happening, for how he loved that son of his. His heart went out to him, but yet he must not spare him if he is to save us. Someone put it well, in the heart and on the face of God, there are tears as he brings the rod of his own wrath down upon his own son. This is the startling message of your and my salvation. Ultimately, it was not Judas who gave up the Christ for the sake of money.
It was not Pilate who gave him up for the sake of political ambition. It was not the Jews who gave him up on account of their envy. Ultimately, it was the Father who gave up the Son on account of his great love for us. Gethsemane, Golgotha, and so this Lord's Supper table, they are the proofs of the incredible love of God for you and for me. God did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all. Do you see how on Lord's Supper morning you receive the gospel in a summary? Because the first message of the gospel is always, you are more and I are more sinful than you ever dared to imagine. But the second message of the gospel is, you and I are more loved by this gracious God than you ever dared hope or imagine. You need both of those to understand the gospel. Well, this is the gospel. It's pictured to you in the Lord's Supper. It took nothing less than this for him to die to pay for your sin. It took nothing less than this for him to die to bring you to that glorious place that he has in store for the people of God. And see now what the Apostle Paul builds out of this, how he drives away all the doubt. He says, listen, if God even did this, if God already did that which was the hardest and the worst for him, is it not sure, absolutely sure, that he will do the rest as well? If God already gave up that which was most precious to him, his own Son, is it not sure that he will also give us all those other things which are much less and so much easier for God to give us? If God even allowed his own Son to die, is there any doubt about the fact that now he will give us everything that his beloved Son died for? It's an argument, they say, from the greater to the lesser. The Bible does this again and again because it was a Jewish way of reckoning. It's an argument from the greater to the lesser, from the hard to the easy, from the almost insurmountable obstacle to the easily surmountable obstacle. Since he did what was hard, why do you doubt he will do what is easy? It's like walking into my office, into my library, and I already told you, I don't like to part with books. But imagine that I gave you the best book that I have, the book that is the most dear to me, and you would ask me for a little brochure or a pamphlet. Of course I'd give you the brochure and the pamphlet if I've given you already the best that I have to give. Well, that's the argument. God has given the best, so don't doubt he will give you the rest. It is, as the Apostle Paul says, the cross of Christ was such an incredible display of the love and the goodness of God that he who meditates on that cannot doubt on that love and goodness anymore. Anything else that we need, that we ask for, is paltry when compared to this. This is so great, so magnificent, that the argument of Paul is, hey, if we got this from him, why not the rest? So don't struggle, don't doubt in the midst of your pain, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of what seems to you like a forsakenness by God. God will not forsake us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He will guide us to the great streams. He will guide us to a glorious destination, even a table that makes all other tables look like nothing. Notice the words "with him" in our text. He who did not spare us his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? If he's given us him, he will give us everything else as well. And so it is that Paul in this chapter can speak confidently about all the things that God does for us and will give us. He speaks about us in verse 14 and following as sons of God. And he says, well, if in Christ you are sons and daughters, then know this, you're also heirs. Christ is incredibly rich. Everything that belongs to God the Father belongs to him. And he's not miserly about what belongs to him. He will give it all away to us. God will give us all things in that great Son of his. He says in verse 30, if we have already been justified in this Christ, then there's no doubt about it. We will also be glorified with him. In due time, he will take us to himself and leave us of all that's miserable in this life. He says in verse 33 and following, that if God even did this, that he gave up his own son, how can there be any doubt about it? That nothing in all creation, neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, the present nor the future, things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, anything else in all creation, nothing will ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's all settled, you see. He gave us the best, and the best was so exceedingly the very best that there is no doubt. Indeed, brothers and sisters, eat and drink, believe and do not doubt, rejoice and be glad, walk in new paths, giving him thanks and praise all the days, for surely it's true. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also give us all things with him? Amen.